Hi, I'm Bill Bannum, founder of the HR Gazette, the HR Chat podcast, and co-founder of the Innovate Work event series for HR talent pros and leaders. The HR Gazette team and I are delighted to be collaborating with Chris Buehling and the folks at Fidello to bring you this new podcast, laser focused on the competencies, behaviors, metrics, and results needed to create and maintain high performing teams. From attraction and recruitment, through onboarding and measuring, all the way to succession planning, each episode will take a deep dive into the stages of workforce planning you need to master in order to guarantee long-term success in a rapidly changing world of work. Typically, Chris and I will be your co-hosts in each episode, although sometimes we'll swap things up, and in each episode we'll be joined by super impressive guest industry experts. Each interview is around 15 to 20 minutes, and you're going to hear from such luminaries as Rohit Manchura, former head of HR at Arjun Coca-Cola, Matthew Hamilton, head of HR strategy and people analytics at Protective Life, Keris Hogardi, Vice President, People Services North America at Colliers International, Joshua Siegel, VP Organizational Effectiveness at Wave HQ, and Dr. Philip Mead, co-founder of Gallagher Edge, who in a capacity as Associate Director, Spaceport Integration and Services at NASA Kennedy Space Center, was tasked with revitalizing the culture at NASA following the 2003 Space Shuttle Columbia explosion. The following conversation is with my new co-host, Chris Buehling, founder at Fidello Inc., a consulting firm specializing in improving human performance. Through their products and services, Fidello helps clients design, develop, and implement strategic integrated HR processes and systems. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the ideas and the experiences shared in this new podcast series. And we invite you to learn more at fidello.com. So, without further ado, enjoy this conversation that I had with Chris that sets the stage for this new podcast series. Chris Buehling, say hello, please.
Hello, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited about the content we have coming up for everybody and doing this series with you.
Me too, sir. Me too. So it's going to be the wonderful Chris Buehling and I that typically we're going to be your hosts for each show. Sometimes we might swap it up. Sometimes Chris will be sick of me and he'll say, "Bill, go away this week. I don't want you on the show." Sometimes I might sneak an extra guest in there just all by myself. But generally, you're looking at a two-host format, and we have one or two guests. Sometimes we might turn it into a fireside chat, though, or sometimes we might turn it into a panel. But the point is, you're going to get lots of awesome content, which will hopefully educate you and take you into new directions when it comes to understanding what's happening in the world of workforce planning. So let me give you a little bit of a taster of what you can expect in season one of this new podcast. Each episode is going to be around about 15 to 20 minutes, and we've got some pretty impressive guests, and they include Rohit Manchura, who's the Chief HR Officer at SIH AGH, and he's the former head of HR at Arjun Coca-Cola, Matthew Hamilton, very, very clever guy, who's the head of HR strategy and people analytics over at Protective Life, Keris Hogardi, who's the Vice President of People Services North America at Colliers International, Josh Siegel, who's a good friend of mine, he's the VP of Organizational Effectiveness over at Wave HQ, they're the accounting software company, and we're going to hear from Dr. Philip Mead, who's the co-founder of Gallagher Edge, who he talks to us about his other job, where in the capacity of Associate Director of Spaceport Integration and Services at NASA, Dr. Philip was tasked with revitalizing the culture at NASA following the 2003 Space Shuttle Columbia explosion. So we've got some really big hitters straight off the bat. Chris, what I'd love now is for me to shut up because I'm talking too much. And I'd like to delve in a little bit with you as to some of the topics or some of the questions that we're going to be asking of our guests in each of the episodes of the first season.
Bill, I love that. But let me interject one second here. Okay. I just want to, for our viewers today and for our listeners, if you're listening via a podcast, I just need to explain something too. We're excited here from Fidelio's standpoint. Now, we do a lot of this stuff we're going to talk about through this series, but we have been through our interviews and working with these individuals that you just referenced. We've been excited. You know, we learned years ago that there's not a silver bullet. There's not one way to do something. And so the diversity of our guests, the thought processes that they bring to the table, it's enlightening. And I think it's important for us all as we go through this series to just grab onto these things and say, yeah, that makes sense for us. Or, well, that's cool, but no, and that's okay. And I think that's the beauty of what we're going to do is put different people, different backgrounds, coming from different cultural events and experiences that are going to shed some light on some areas that you may be thinking of right now or you need to think of in the quick future. So anyway, I just wanted to interject that before we got into a little bit more of the overview.
Very well put, Christopher. Very well put indeed. So what Chris is saying there, just to summarize, is you need to get excited about this, people, because you're going to learn a lot and you're not always going to agree with everything you hear. Sometimes you're going to think it's the best thing since sliced bread. But the point is, we're going to be presenting new opinions based on what's happening right now, and real lived experiences. Okay, Chris, now then, let's take a little bit of time and wander through a journey with our new audience, shall we? I'm just going to touch on some of the episodes that we're going to be doing in the first season here, and I'm going to bring up a couple of the topics or maybe a couple of the questions that we're going to be posing of our guests, and I'd love to get your feedback as to why they matter and what their impact is on the world of HR and on the world of leadership. Let's start in a pretty logical place. Let's start with episode two, this one being episode one. I think we know what's going on in episode one. Episode two, we look at selection and recruitment. So that's, you know, the very first stages of an employee life cycle. It's being hired, it's the attraction. A couple of areas I'd like you to sort of delve into that we look at in this episode, Chris, are understanding what the jobs market looks like right now. So we're recording this interview in late May 2021. The labor market has done this over the course of the last 12 to 16 months. So maybe paint a bit of a picture of what we're looking at right now. And also, as part of that, maybe you can reflect on what remote working taught organizations in terms of what can be achieved and how that's going to impact the future of the ways that we work.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. So what we've got here, and our guest really summarizes this well, and she kind of goes through it and just lays it out and say, you know what? It is a tight labor market for companies. It's great for somebody looking for a position, but it's really tight for those that are trying to hire. And so how do you get your message out? And so between this module and another module a little bit later in the series, you're going to be able to hear some great things about the, you know, the market right now, how to adjust for it, how to plan for it, how to market yourself best for it. We're going to be talking about those types of things that are in there because, you know, ultimately you're going to need the best person who's got the best fit for your culture to be in your positions right there so that they can be successful immediately, so they can help change your business. We're coming out of this, or we hope we're coming out of this pandemic time period. And we need to be ready for that moment where we can branch off. And again, we've got to entice and bring in the best people. And so how do we do that? And so we've got some great overviews of that. And you know, you reference a great point in we've learned a lot from the pandemic. One, we don't like to be isolated and stuck up at home. But two, we like to be isolated and stuck up at home. It's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, I did a panel discussion a while ago with some people of large organizations, and it was always back to when we're out of this, we're not going to be the same. We're going to have some home time, some in office time. We're going to be a little bit different there, a little bit different there, and it kind of really relates to what does that new worker need to do from the standpoint of being skilled in knowledge to work from home, work on the road, back in the office? It really takes a little bit of a coordination and understanding of what is it today that we're doing that was different than pre-pandemic, and how does that impact our employee? And you're going to hear that as we come through here, and we're going to package that up well. So thank you.
Okay, awesome. Let's continue on our exciting narrative, our journey through this new series together, Chris. Episode three, we hone in on competency-based job profiles. So we've separated that out from the first episode, which is a more general look at the labour market and jobs and what's been going on. And in episode three, we look at such topics and questions as what goes into creating a competency-based job profile, what due diligence is needed when developing that job description, what are some of the most in-demand skills right now. This is a huge topic, everyone, for many, many, many reasons. For example, the skills that people are employers are looking for now, they've maybe changed since pre-pandemic times, and people are maybe not highlighting the correct skills on their resumes and whatnot. Anyway, I'll stop talking about that. I'm sure Chris will mention that in a second. And we also look at how we can inject a feel of for the company culture within a job profile. You know, we're going back to a stage of a war for talent again. And therefore, if you want to attract the best talent, you've got to stand out there, and you've got to have an impressive employer brand. Chris,
yeah,
over to you.
I participated on this is one that we tag teamed on, and it was fun. I mean, it really was fun. And what we talked about here, because you know the topic competency based job profiles doesn't sound fun, but when we got into this module, you know, I thought it came alive. I thought it was a great opportunity to learn and listen to our speaker. He had a great influence as to thinking about really a continuum of not just crafting the right job description and how to do it, but laying in the competencies, laying in the concepts of what will make us successful, not just from a task standpoint, but also from a cultural standpoint, which you kind of referenced in your last bullet. And it brings together this holistic approach to saying, I'm just not writing a job description that's going to go up against 30,000 other job descriptions. I'm going to write a job description that embodies what's going to happen here and then positions it through some of the nice insights we're going to get through this process of what it looks like when you market it. How do you market it? And so he's going to talk about some assets as you go along the way that most of us never think about when you're looking at creating a job description and then getting it to marketplace and getting people to come back into it. And it's embodied with the culture. It's embodied with the competencies. It's embodied with the skills or knowledges that you need right now that are there, you know. And, you know, the most in-demand skills right now, really, it's kind of interesting. Market-driven, but also, how are we doing things remotely and how are we moving forward and what are we doing along those lines and getting people to perform without a taskmaster standing over them in an office place is critical for us to move forward. And how does that embellish itself or embody itself or demonstrate itself as you move forward? And those are really some cool things that are in there. So when you're looking at, you know, in episode two, we were talking about selection and recruitment, but here we kind of started with this is really the horse before the cart. Because you need that definition to figure out what you're doing and to bring a body into the organization and have the best person there. Because as you said, the fight for talent is real right now. And the reality for us is that it's not only real, but we have to differentiate and we can't afford to have a poor hire. So we need to have that person feel comfortable from walking through the door that, oh, this is the job I was hired for versus, wait, what? This has no correlation. So that job description really needs to be, you know, core to the process that's occurring here. So it's a great module for us to go through, and I am excited for everybody to listen to that one too.
Me too. And what with so much remote hiring going on, and maybe it will continue going on after things return to some degree of normalcy, getting the competencies aligned, making sure that job profile does actually say what you're supposed to do, is that much more important, because you won't perhaps get the same level of guidance as you would have done pre-pandemic times when everybody was working in person. Yeah. Anyway, let's continue through. Next on our journey of wonderment, Chris, is we look at in episode four, we look at feedback, performance management and development planning. And we delve into data, actually. Essentially, in this episode, we talk about why it's important for HR to have data-driven analytical skills. The short answer is because if you don't have them, you're going to become obsolete, frankly. Are data analysis skills more important than traditional HR skills and knowledge? there's a big debate to be had. And what are the most important metrics one looks at when assessing employee and team performance? And how can we retain some human element in there when we're assessing our people? Chris, share your thoughts around that.
Yeah, again, I sound like a broken record. This was a fun conversation. And it started with the fact that he said, you know, I knew math really well, so they hired me to do this type of job. And, you know, it's like, oh, you can read reports and you can run numbers and that kind of stuff. And, you know, as we delved into it, you know, he kind of, and we pushed him on the topic a little. It's like, yeah, no, you really need a good mix between, you know, pure human interaction skills like an HR professional normally has historically had, but also you need to be able to bring in the analytical components. You need to understand the data. You need to understand what are drivers and what are distractors from work and walking through that process and doing those things. It's really critical for you to go forward. Yeah, and then when, you know, he laid out a great segment on, you know, what are some of the most important skills that we're looking for, or numbers that we're looking for, and how do they correlate, and how do they run through? And so it's a good understanding for people that are trying to, you know, that are working in the HR space, that are trying to understand how to do analytical thinking. And you know, I think the biggest takeaway from this moment was, you know, it's not one camp and another camp. It's a blended solution of people. So again, it goes back into, as we were just talking about, the capabilities or skills and knowledges in the last module. You know, maybe your HR team needs to be a little more analytical. Maybe they need to have some of those abilities to come back in with data sets, as well as how do we treat people and what's the psychology behind this. And that melding of the two are really going to make it successful for an organization. So it's really cool, you know, when you look at it a whole picture.
And then we go into episode five, I think it is. And in episode five, Chris, we're gonna focus on training, on leadership development, and learning management. It's pretty important, I guess, if you want to have happy people, have folk who are gonna stay with your company and they're gonna grow and they're gonna become leaders within the organization and they're gonna align with, you know, the wider agenda, that the company's why, that they're gonna drive sustainable performance over a long period of time. Tell us a little bit about why learning and training and leadership development are absolutely integral to the whole process here to make sure that companies continue to be successful.
Yeah, you know, we're always being tasked and asked about training and leadership development and learning management. And, you know, the whole aspect of this here is important, because we have seen over the last few years that a lot of our workforce coming in, and those that are currently there, want new challenges. They want to learn, they want to develop, they want to grow. So if you want people engaged and sticking around for a while, providing productivity, because, you know, if you lose somebody after a few years, chances are you're losing a big piece of knowledge, wisdom. How do we get things done? And that cultural impact of the loss may be more detrimental than just, you know, the ones and zeros. So, you know, when you look at it, it's like, how do we get people going, and where do we take them to, and why is it important for us to do this? It's important for us to continue down this evolution, because it's more of a revolution as well, too, when you're looking at the fact that business changes, models change. You know, oh, it's core leadership. Yeah. But how we do things, how we emphasize one area versus another area, it really modifies itself over time when you're looking at how do we work with our different generational groups that are out there, and how do we move forward along this line. And you want to prepare today for tomorrow and the next day. And it one of the, I mean, this, you can see my gray hair. You know, we got everybody watching now. I've been around a while, and one of my partners has said in the past, he said he had a client that said that used to train all these fresh graduates from college and give them the opportunity to get an MBA. And some reporter stopped him once and said, "What are you doing that for? Half the people leave." And he goes, "Yeah, and half of them stay." You know, and so when you cut yourself short on developing and moving leaders, what are you really doing, and what are you telling your workforce that would stay behind? Well, it's not important for you, okay? And, you know, no, it's the opportunity for us to move this development forward and do these things. It's really going to drive impact and change if you do it right.
And employees, they expect so much more than in the past when it comes to, you know, in the old days,
It was about salary probably, and maybe a few benefits, but now it's so much more than that. It's about alignment with the culture. It's about those learning opportunities. Excuse me, those opportunities to develop, and hopefully to make a difference to the world, to have a real why. And I'm sure we'll get into that. In fact, episode six, we do touch upon that because we talk about culture and engagement. Do you like what I did there, Chris? A seamless flow into episode six.
A seamless flow. Yes, it was wonderful. I loved it.
So,
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
yeah, I was just going to highlight a few things that we do talk about in episode six, which so it's focused on culturing and engagement, and specifically we ask questions such as how important are employee advocates to projecting one's company culture? Getting your people to spread that message, so it's not just coming from your marketing teams or HR teams or leadership. Take a moment as well. We ask our guests to take a moment as well to drive home how many of the things that they did directly or indirectly that were really extensions or representative of their employer brand. So, for example, creating those job descriptions that we spoke about earlier, or the ways that they recruit, the ways that they train, they're all reflective. We also spoke, Chris, a little bit about talent acquisition efforts and helping to shape learning and development efforts, and why L&D is so important to ensuring that employees are engaged and productive and they stay longer term. So actually, there's a lot of threads, I think, in there to what we've addressed in other episodes. But if folk stumble over the importance of company culture and engagement and don't really focus just in on that, I feel maybe they're missing something right now at a time where culture is so important to attracting and retaining the right people.
We've got all these points here, and I don't want to steal the thunder from the episode itself too, but the reality comes back to, I've referenced culture, I think, every time I've spoken so far. The culture, and here this is a great chance to just to make it everybody aware of what it is and think about it and how do we do that. And the advocacy is great too, because if your culture is good and it reflects your values and it drives the performance that you want and people are energized and engaged, that's what's culture and engagement. If they're engaged through the culture, they're gonna bring people on board with them. It's like, hey, Bill, come work with me. This is a great place. We're having fun and we're doing this. You need to change it from a vocation to an avocation. You need to get to the point where that culture and the mission really drive the person to come to work every day. And if you can do that, you've got great employees that are going to be producing. I think we have one of our individuals who presents to us just said, it was really hard for us, and it's not in this module, but it was really hard for us to really get to a point where people would take vacation. And it kind of goes to that, and that's it's not healthy too, but you really want to get to that point where you can have your employees advocating for you based upon the culture that they're in and where they're taking it to. And when you hit that and you can market that into your job profiles and the descriptions which go out for hiring models, and people can feel that. And that's kind of where that other module was, where you're not the first one, but a little bit later, where you're talking about how do we market this, and you capture that, and all of a sudden it makes you stand out against the 30,000, job offers that are out there, and brings it back home. And as we continue to grow and develop, and the people can, expand their horizon inside their positions, the sky's the limit for a lot of this stuff. And it's kind of fun. We always ask them, what is a high performing work group look like, at the end of each one of these modules. And it really drives back to this module in a lot of what we do.
And then in episode seven, we look at workforce planning and specifically change management, succession planning, and career planning. And what we try to do in that episode is we start off by saying, okay, well, strategic workforce planning takes more of a statistical approach to designing the perfect team, and it bases its decisions on business trends and analytics and focuses on hiring the best qualified talent to compete with current and future tasks, of course. And we look into that side and why that's important. And then we flip it on its head and we say factors influencing change management are perhaps more nuanced, and therefore we ask how much stock must we place on relationships when leading change management. Again, this human element. And we also ask, what are some of the biggest challenges that leaders are facing at the moment when it comes to managing change and ensuring that it sticks to the overall business objectives, moving, bringing it back to the workforce planning aspect. In addition, we ask what can happen to company culture if too much change happens in a very short space of time. So I do a lot of interviews with lots of folk. Chris and I have had some really interesting conversations as part of this series. And what we're both hearing from our peers and from those that we interview is we might be looking at about 25% of certain industries' workforces on the move in 2021 as a result of the crisis that we've all just gone through. That's huge. So to make sure that you've got the processes in place to replace your people or hopefully keep them happy, it's never been more important. Chris, what are your thoughts?
I'm just dumbfounded. I can't say anything. No, let me get into this. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of things. It was interesting. I did see another study, and this didn't come up in any of our work here, but I just want to bring it in, that like 75 or 85% of the people were dissatisfied with the way their organization handled the pandemic. And I'm like, oh, you know, and ironically, I was working with a series of bank managers once or bank presidents, and they're like, oh, and you know, I don't know if they were just being stuffed shirts at the time, but they're like, oh, we did plan for this. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, but the reality of it is with that dissatisfaction, you know, you talk about that 25% of the workforce changing, and a lot of it is because like they weren't happy. Well, you know, they're going to go down the road to somebody else, and that somebody else may have had the same dissatisfaction, but it's a new world for them. So that's important. But it's important for us when we look at workforce planning to really take a strategic statistical approach to what are we doing and where are we going and how are we handling this, okay? And, you know, when he comes back to here, it's like we're really pulling it back together and looking at no matter what we do, you know, just even the title of this module alone, workforce planning, succession planning, and career planning. Anytime you execute a succession plan, you make changes happen. Anytime you do a career plan change for yourself, you make changes happen. So how do you not only plan for and design what your workforce needs to be as we roll forward in this world? And, you know, a lot of our other modules talk about, you know, putting that to be together. But also, how do we handle that changing landscape of new people coming in, old people leaving, the void from that departure, and that those change aspects that are coming down there, you know? And it's a really good time for us when we're looking at this, and how do we integrate these human factors together with real business planning needs? And this is really a great module. I was excited when I heard it. Bill excluded me from this one.
I'm sorry, Chris.
It's okay. Probably personal, I know. But it was a great one, and I'm encouraged, you know, and excited for everybody else to go listen to this one as it comes along, because she's got a lot of great insights to this, and it will bring it home for you when you listen.
And then that takes us through to we're going to be doing a panel episode. It's a special episode, and there's going to be plenty of debate and maybe things being thrown virtually. Who knows? Who knows where it's going to go? And it's going to be kind of reflecting on some of the issues that we've spoken about so far today and generally addressed in the series. So watch your space for that one. We're going to have at least two guests, maybe three, maybe 10. Who knows? Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And who knows?
It could even set up season two.
It could even set up season two. There we go.
Yep.
There we go. So that's a bit of an overview of season one. I'm very excited. I can't talk for Chris, but he looks very excited to me.
Yes, I am. This is going to be great.
So we hope that you take a listen to a few of the episodes. Most of them are going to be audio. We will come on and do a bit of video occasionally. Chris is aware that I've only got one decent shirt right now, so it's not going to happen every day. But we do hope that you enjoy the content and the conversations that we're having. They're designed to educate and to share new ideas. So that's all I've got to say. Chris, why don't you take us home today with a final message for our new audience?
You know, Bill, thank you very much. Hopefully everybody who's watched and listened can sense the excitement I have for this, because back to an earlier point that I made before we broke into here, these are pearls of wisdom, and they may be great for you. They may not be at this time, but it's opportunities for you to hear from people who are experiencing or who have experienced it and have done things that have been impactful to their organizations or other organizations that they work with. And it's just a great opportunity for you to think, listen, and grow from the experience. And we're excited for you to participate.
Well, that's all from us for now. Please tune in to episode 2 and 3 and 4 and all of the others. Thanks very much for your interest, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
This podcast is supported by Fidelo Inc., a consulting firm specializing in improving human performance. Through their products and services, Fidelo helps clients design, develop, and implement strategic integrated human resource processes and systems. Learn more at fidelo.com. That's FIDELLO.com.